This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf. It went smack down the fairway,
then it started to slice. Good morning, Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio 1300-92.5. Why am I talking like this? It's Sunday morning. Come on, Sean. I gave Perry French the week off. He's been really busy. He was out there. They did that great fitting session Thursday at Man of War Golf, Srixon in Cleveland. And so I gave him the week off. Christmas Garrett's, too bad you're not here. You could have hosted the show, whole show with me. Next on the tee, go to podbean.com. Probably the best golf podcast out there. Joining me now is, put your fingers in your ears, Brian, so you don't hear this. He's one of my favorite people. Brian Pettigrew, the tournament director of the Barbasol Championship, which, well, let me say hi to him, and then I'll cry while I speak to him. Hi, Brian.
How's it going, Matthew?
Oh, it's going. I don't know if you know this, Brian, but this was the week. This would have been the week. Right?
I know.
This past week.
I know. Every day I kind of go through my routine, I'm like, I would have been doing this today.
Oh, a year ago, would have been the second in a row, would have been the third in a row great Barbasol championship. But here's the great thing about the organization and you and everything around this tournament. Just because it was canceled for this year, and folks, it will be back next year, and it'll be, I know it's a cliche, but bigger and better than ever. You didn't just stop there and say, okay, there's something coming up in October that I want you to tell our peeps about.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to a lot of people this week, and I continue to tell them, you know, that the PGA Tour, when they bring a tournament to your state or to your city, just they bring a lot more than just 1 week's event with the greatest golfers in the world attending it. There's so many more things they do throughout the year, and I love that about it. It was, supposed to be played this week, but back when the tournament was canceled, we sat down with the PGA Tour and said, well, we need to do something because, first of all, we've got five charities that are counting on our golf tournament, and let's come up with something, some ideas of how we can generate some money for the charities, how we can also just continue keeping them in our thoughts and helping them gain followers and exposure to their charitable efforts. And so we created a golf tournament, within about a week. And it will be a charity golf tournament that we're playing in October 15th and 16th. And there's information on barbasolchampionship.com and how to sign up and if you want to enter a team. And we're looking forward to getting everybody back out to Champions this fall and also bringing in some of the PGA Tour players that are past winners and some of the guys that are from Kentucky, like Josh Teeter. We got invites out to those guys, and should be a fun 2 days. It's Thursday and a Friday.
Yeah, and Thursday night there's going to be Taste of the PGA Tour, and these kind of events are great. There's going to be entertainment. Yeah. There's going to be all kinds of things that teams can go. And by the way, I will be there. I will be playing in this event. You know that, don't you? I've been contacted. There's a huge demand for me. You played with
They're
me.
They're fighting over
good
you.
They are. Yeah, that's the word I would use. Yeah. No, Deanne Stevens actually is who they're fighting over. But these, you know, these charities, especially like Caddy 127 and the other local charities, are they just benefit so much for this. The PGA Tour, Arnold Palmer Foundation, TaylorMade Driving Relief, all of these are getting together, and it's going to help these charities.
Yeah. So, and that's just another great thing that this PGA Tour event does for Kentucky. And, I mean, here we are, our tournament's canceled, and the first to raise their hand and say, how can we help all these tournaments that were canceled in different states? There were about 10 golf tournaments that were canceled this year due to COVID-19. And it was Arnold and Winnie Palmer Foundation said, hey, we're going to put some of our funds towards those tournaments that were affected by a cancellation, and we'll donate to their charity. So they were the first to reach out. And then TaylorMade had a driving relief promotion, and it was made for TV. They raised more money than they thought they would raise, and so they did the same thing. They said, let's reach out to the tournaments that were affected with cancellations this year, so they gave money to our charities. And so it has been, you know, although we wish we were playing the golf tournament this week, it has been great to see how the tour has come together with all their different groups and tournaments, and they've all gathered together to help the ones that were canceled. And so we're glad that's happened, and they've been really supportive of us.
Talk about making the best of a bad situation. That's the definition right there. We got about 2.5 minutes. I want you to briefly, and we'll talk more about this, touch on something that we're starting here, right? Establishing a first tee of Greater Lexington. Tell us about that. I can't wait for this.
So whenever the Barbasol, last year when we started going through the financials of the Barbasol Championship and looking at the charities that we would donate money to, there's a line item in there for junior golf, and I started asking about what we do for junior golf in Lexington, and we got four of the local leaders together with myself and came up with a first tee program. And there had been a first tee program in Lexington. It had gone away, and we said, well, let's bring it back. Now that the Barbasol is here in town, and each year there will be money that we can generate for first tee, let's put our heads together and figure out how to come up with reestablishing first tee. And what if people are not familiar with first tee, what it does is it teaches kids 6 to 19, but we're going to focus really on 6 to 10-year-olds, and it helps the PE teachers. It gives them activities. And all the Fayette County and surrounding counties will have these first tee bags that are made available to the PE teacher. We'll also train those PE teachers, but it teaches them core values just on things like integrity and honesty and some of the things that come with golf. But it also has 9 healthy habits. It teaches them how to be active and healthy. So we're looking forward. We are announcing that this week, and then we will start putting it into place this fall into schools, and then you'll start seeing the benefits of a first tee program with all the community centers, YMCAs, and county schools, Fayette County public schools next spring and summer.
Awesome. And I can't wait to be involved with this. And by the way, there are a lot of people I've played golf with over the years that should have been through the first tee program. I'm talking about integrity, honesty, all that stuff. I'll just leave that there. People are listening. They know who they are. Anyway, all right. Thanks for joining us today. And obviously, we'll be talking much more about this as we go through. And I hope I see you real soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks, Brian. See ya. Brian Pettigrew. Awesome. All right. That'll do it for this segment. We're going to let me finish, Sean. He always does that to me. We'll be back. It's ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. And joining me now, one of my faves, absolutely one of my faves, and man, can he hit a golf ball. Holy crap. I was going to say crap, Sean, but I'm going to say holy crow. Ryan Ballinger, you can follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Ballinger, B-A-L-L-E-N-G-E-E, or at Golf News Net. And you can go to thegolfnewsnet.com, which is absolutely one of the best websites anywhere. Hi, Ryan Ballinger.
Hi, Matt Lawrence. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure. It's been too long, actually. But I know how busy you are. I don't like to bother you because you're a very busy guy, as we all are these days.
We're all busy doing nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always interesting. I read people's Twitter bios, and yours is owner of golf at Golf News Net, of course, but backyard course architect. I mean, so you've had a lot of time. You must have just an incredible course laid out there in the backyard, right?
Well, right now, one of the holes is occupied by an inflatable pool. So... It's down for maintenance at the moment, but might need to come back in the fall depending on how we handle all of this.
That's great. It's so great because I had a visual of it. It's so perfect.
I am not in the inflatable pool, but my kids are.
Okay, yeah, no, I didn't have that visual. The kids in there is good. That's enough for me. All right, since we haven't spoken for a little while, as I have done with all and. The people I have on this show are so great and so knowledgeable. I respect all of you so much. I want to get your take on what's going on. I refuse to say his name. I call him the Hulk. Other people call him Briceps. I think we all know who we're talking about. I just want to get your take on what's happened with him and what is this the future of golf, or he's just having a good run, and once he figures out he can't chip or putt or something, it'll be over. What do you think?
I feel like, I mean, I watch CNBC most days because I get the news without having to get right. All the bad news. So yeah. I know what's going on without feeling a sense of total despair.
Yeah.
And they talk a lot about these last few months creating trends that were 5, 10, 15 years away. And they're just happening now because now's a blank void. And I feel like that's what DeChambeau is doing. He's taking where golf was going anyway. I mean, that Kepka, DJ, Rom, Finau, it's not like there's a shortage of guys who can smash the ball forever. And DeChambeau just decided, you know what? I'm going to get bigger and faster than all of them right now in 3 months, and then we'll see who can lay their cards on the table. Mm. And he crammed several off seasons and a lot of work into 3 months. And so far, it seems to have paid off. He intelligently figured out that he couldn't hit low bullets 350. He's got to carry him 320 and hope for roll. That allows him to do this on pretty much every golf course on the PGA Tour. He's been successful with it, even on the courses that conceptually doesn't make sense for.
Mm-hmm.
He won the Detroit event just smashing it everywhere, even when he didn't want to hit the fairway, just smashed it to a convenient place and took bogey out of play.
Right.
It's a pretty brilliant strategy. And I hate it. It's not fun to watch.
It's
not interesting. And I don't think it makes Bryson any more likable that he smacks the crap out of the ball.
Correct.
He's still insufferable in many ways.
Correct.
So, that's great that he's playing well for him, I mean, I guess, and it gives us something to talk about. But I got way more enjoyment out of watching Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, and Justin Thomas try to tear up Muirfield Village in a little bit more of a traditional sense last weekend than anything Bryson tried to do so far.
It's such a great point because I'm looking at these guys. Now, you're a big guy, Ryan, and when I had the great, very grateful opportunity to play golf with you, you hit the ball a long way. You're a big guy. I look at Colin Morikawa and – even though Hovland is very fit, he's not that big. JT,
right.
We all know. And I watch these guys, how far they're hitting it. It's not DeChambeau length, but it's 320 or what, 330 sometimes. But they technically, and it's golf the way we were taught golf is supposed to be. You're supposed to think your way around the golf course. You're supposed to do different things that they're doing that Bryson has taken out of play. And it's a great point you make. I would much rather watch those guys.
I mean, that's just my personal, and I'm sure there are people on the other side who go, ah, he's just busting up golf. It's great. Doing something different. And I understand that. There is a segment of the population that would love to watch him just destroy golf courses left and right and make it look very robotic and unemotional. Yeah. There's just something. There's a reason people have a connection to Seve Ballesteros.
Correct. My idol. That's right.
He didn't play. I mean, he was powerful, but he didn't play power golf. He played beautiful golf.
Yeah.
Bryson's playing powerful golf, and it's not that pretty to watch. I mean, just watching him arm lock that putter is makes a shiver go up my spine.
Oh, this is so great. I actually said on Twitter, somebody put how great it's going to be if Bryson and Patrick Reed are paired together in international play. And I put, I'm rooting for the Europeans. I mean, that's how I feel. I just feel that way, and that's what you're talking about.
It's just, Bryson is just not a likable guy. I mean, he's just convinced himself that, or has created a persona that seems convinced that he's smarter than everybody and thinking of things nobody thought of, and yeah, I mean, that's great and everything, but JT has 3 wins on the season and Bryson has 1. So, yeah.
Yep. Well, and he should have more. Obviously, JT should have more. He should have had 1 last week.
He should have 4.
He should have 4. That's right. And the other thing is with Bryson, I've talked about this, that whole episode with the cameraman and Bryson talking about it hurts his branding and his image for to have cameramen, on the course with it. That's talk about a load of crap. That was it.
That was a huge turnoff for me.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and he's trying to tell people what the role, he thinks the role of the media should be in presenting golf.
Right.
And I don't tell him how to play golf. He shouldn't tell me how to do my job.
There you go.
My job is to not to be a cheerleader.
Yep.
It's not to glorify the ground that he walks on. It's to look at the game with a cynical, skeptical eye and figure out what's what and what's not.
Yep, and you do it in a great way, I'll tell you. I want to ask you, I have gone on record many times now saying the whole experience of watching golf with no fans, to me, is great. I love this.
I love it.
Believe me, I wish, obviously, we weren't going through what we're going through and we could all be out there and doing what we used to do, but in terms of television golf, I think it's way better because you get to see the golf course the way it was designed, and they can't hit it in the stands on 18 and get a drop right there. And all the camera work is even better because the cameras are on the ground. I just think the whole thing is better.
It's a better viewing experience.
Yeah.
I mean, for a TV audience, absolutely. I mean, some of my favorite times of watching golf, covering golf tournaments, is not going to follow the lead group. It's going to go follow some person I either like personally or whose game I'm interested in or whatever, and just go follow them. And they're like 10, 20 people around, or they're just standing on a hole, have no idea who it is.
Yeah.
Because you see them play golf, and you can hear their conversations. You can see their cadence when they walk. It's a better view into what makes a professional golfer different than a recreational golfer, what makes them so good.
Right.
And you get a little bit more glimpse of that because of having no fans, and you have to lay out a little bit because otherwise it's just awkward silence, but you catch conversations. You can use the drone views. You can do things that you can't do with a lot of people around. And I think it's been, I mean, we can quibble about CBS, how many shots they show, but when they do show the shots, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. And I don't wish that we were in this situation by any stretch.
Right.
But if the PGA Tour could put together a fanless event once a year with some special tricks of the trade, do it in the fall series. I mean, hardly anyone goes to those events anyway.
Right.
If we could do those and make them special, just a special at home experience, it might be cool to do once or twice a year.
Yeah. Oh, I think it would. And, you know, the perfect example is last Sunday when JT dropped that bomb putt. I mean, Morikawa came and did the same thing, but the long, long one that JT rolled in, his scream and fist pump. Now, he would have done that anyway, but we would never have heard it because the roar would have drowned it out. And it that was a perfect example of what we're talking about.
And the crowd roaring would have been special and emotional and cool. Yeah. And it might have even distracted Morikawa from not making the comeback, you know, the tying putt.
Yep.
And that we could have had a totally different tournament result. Yep. But I still think for him to be able to be emotional in that moment, and you hear it, you know, because we've all had one of those on the golf course where you did something you didn't think you could do, and you celebrate in some fashion.
Yeah,
you don't get that with the pros. Don't get that with the pros.
No, I do it every time I play. Whether it's warranted or not, if I make a 4-foot putt to save bogey, I do it. I mean, but that's just me. You've played with me. You know what I'm talking about. All right. I want to wrap up with you with this. Yesterday you put on your Twitter account, I don't go after a lot of guys higher than 100-1, but Lucas Glover feels pretty good this week at 125-1. So I'm assuming from that tweet, that you have some fun. Do you actually bet on the tournaments, or is this a fantasy golf thing? What were you talking about?
On occasion, now that betting is okay in DC, is legal in DC, I cross over the border, get on my phone, and put a few few dollars down.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing you clarified that, because I don't want you to get arrested or anything here. I mean, but I'm actually today, I am going to bet on this tournament this week. We had Sean Wright. We had somebody was talking about odds yesterday on our show, and some of the odds are absurd. Rory is like, you can get, it's for $100, $1,200. I mean, golf is that way. It's unlike any other sport because the best golfers, there are favorites, but even the favorites are 8-1. So, I mean, you can just take a few bucks and bet it on a few different guys and, you know, you might get lucky. I'm going to do it today. I can't wait.
Futures are really hard to do, pick an outright winner. I mean, you got this week, I picked one out of 131 guys to win. And you can rule out a lot of them.
Yeah,
I know.
But still,
you got to nail one out of 131.
Right.
And that's pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
If you're into betting and you feel like you want to put like a lot of money on something, I don't recommend doing what that guy in Chicago did, betting like $20,000 on Morikawa and winning $400,000.
Right.
I would recommend putting, putting your money on matchups, one guy versus another, groups of three.
You get
smaller odds, but you have only one guy or two guys to beat. That's probably a little bit better in the long haul.
Yeah,
but
see.
It has been nice for the sport to be able to legally bet in a lot of states. And I think the handle, from what I understand, is pretty huge for the sport right now.
It is. We have a guy that's on our show almost every week from Vegas, and it is. And the good news for me is once I bet tonight, I don't have an addictive personality at all, so I'll probably be able to just let it go after one day. You know, holy cow.
Yeah.
Am I in trouble? This is how I got started betting 40 years ago. I bet $25 on a basketball game and won, and I went, this is the easiest money in the world. I mean, and that's what happens. I got to be careful. You should check in with me every few days to make sure I'm okay. All right.
I'll text you next, let's say Monday, the 1-888 gambler number in case.
Okay. All right, man. It's so great talking to you. I hope that one day soon you, me, and Mitchie and all our gang can get back together and play. And I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for doing this. Go jump in the pool. Go ahead.
Oh, I can't wait. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, pal. Ryan Ballingy. He's a great one. All right. It's thegolfnewsnet.com or at golfnewsnet. We'll be back. It's Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. And I'm talking like this because I'm really excited. I am really pumped. Most of the time I'm not. But now I really am because Jerry Foltz is on the line with me. I'll just say hello and then I'm going to talk about his stupid Twitter bio. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, my friend. And you know what? I've had the chance to stream some of your shows, and you give everybody the hero's welcome, not just me. So I do, however, feel special every time I get to talk to you.
Well, here, let me just say this, okay, because now nobody's listening. You're the best, Jerry. Of all my guests, you're the best. Okay?
Well, you need to aim higher.
No, I don't. See, that's one of the reasons you're the best, because your humility, your self-deprecating sense of humor is totally unwarranted, number one, and also one of my favorite things. Like, you always deflect to other people when it's you that's so great.
Well, I learned that attitude from a friend of mine who doesn't play the tour anymore, Nolan Henke, who once asked in a media center, en route to one of his four wins, he was once asked in the media center, why do you have such a self-deprecating sense of humor? And he said, well, that's easy. Because I suck.
Perfect answer. Perfect answer. But even your Twitter bio, former mediocre pro, now Golf Channel commentator.
I should have used mediocre twice in that.
No. See, there you go again. You, and I'm not kidding about this. We kid about my hero's welcome to people because I love everybody that's on my show. But you are. You can't use that with your commentator stuff because you are one of the best. And that's no baloney, if you know what I mean. The mediocre pro stuff, you had a very serious injury. I believe that if that didn't happen, they would be talking about you in the way they're talking about Bryson right now or Tiger. That's what I think.
You've been day drinking, haven't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
No, I appreciate the compliments. My playing career was really nothing to write home about, but I was able to make a living playing a game I loved for 10 years, and it led me into a career that I never planned on being a career, to a job that I would do for free if they'd let me.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I don't have to, but I love doing it. And there, I've learned from so many of the great commentators, and to put me in the same conversation with them, I believe is quite a bit unwarranted, but I do appreciate the compliment.
Well, I'm going to keep doing it, so too bad. As we say in my house. All right, let's talk for a minute. Now, obviously, with everything that's been going on, and your work with the Golf Channel, as you so succinctly put it in some of your texts to me when I ask if you're available for a phone call, you haven't been that busy because there haven't been tournaments. And all of us hear about, the NBA players are doing this and the golf pros were off and they were doing this and we see videos of their workouts and all kinds of stuff. But what we don't think about is people like you that are on the course doing commentary every week that we can't do without when we have tournaments. But what happens when there's no tournaments to be played in this bizarre, horrible time we're going through? And I know, all kidding aside, what's it been like for you? I mean, it's been how long? When was the last tournament you got to do?
Well, the last one I traveled to was the last week of January. That was the Gainbridge LPGA Championship down in Boca.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a drive. I did one before that here in Orlando, and then I did the one-day TaylorMade driving relief at Seminole.
Right.
And then I did a Corn Ferry Tour event a few weeks ago, but that was done from the studio here in Orlando, just 2 hours a day for 4 days. So
yeah.
I really have not worked since the end of January. But myself and the ones who do my job for Golf Channel and NBC, and we have been the fortunate ones because they have honored our contracts, even though they had every right not to.
Right.
And are taking care of us nicer than we certainly deserve. And we appreciate that. But you're right. There's a lot of elements to society stopping the way it did that you would never think about. You know, we all think about our servers and our right. hair cutters and what have you, and our flight attendants who aren't getting paid and are out of work and how devastating it's been to them. But there's a whole lot of people who make their living in and around professional golf who have been out of work for 6 months mm-hmm. or 5 months. So it's been sad for them.
And as I said, we very rarely think about that. Now, you are lucky enough because you are with the incredibly talented Karen Stupples. You've been busy supervising all kinds of things for her to make sure she stays mentally and physically sharp, which I think is so great of you. It really is. And I know she feels the same way, right?
Oh yeah, I'm a complete giver. I am a giver. She the oddest things happen during a layoff like this, where we feel like we're retired. And I've never had more than 3 or 4 weeks in a stretch off in my entire adult life of not being on the road and being somewhere. And same with Karen. So 6 months is a long time. And the oddest things happen. I discovered a love for cooking and baking, which I never had. I don't know why it started or how it started. I remember the first day, and she saw the whole lockdown and everything coming along before anybody else. She had our face masks delivered in January, for crying out loud. And I was making big runs to the grocery store to stock up, not knowing what the future held in early February. And I remember I had like a cart full of bread. I had 5 or 6 loaves of bread in there. And then I passed the flour, and I'm like, well, this can't be that tough. And next thing you know, I'm baking every day and cooking every day. And she loves doing yard work. We have a 3-4 acre lot out here in the country in Florida.
It's very beautiful, by the way.
Well, it's kind of, you know, it's a, how do you properly say this politically correct? Well, heck with it. It's a redneck area, and we love it. And the people, our neighbors are fantastic. We have one on each side. But we're never home, so we have a landscaper, the boyfriend of the girl who lives next door, and we pay him money every month to come mow our grass. Well, he's had 6 months off from us, but he's still getting paid. I don't get it, because Karen loves doing it. And the least I can do is, you know, fill it up with gas and fine tune things and buy her a new weed eater. I mean, what more could I, what could she ask for?
Well, she gets to eat the food that you've been cooking, which...
which is why she needs the exercise that I've been giving her out there.
Now the whole thing comes full circle and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, as you put today, it's a mind-body experience that you've developed for her, and I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the focus that it takes when you're faced with imminent bodily injury if you happen to not concentrate, which is a riding lawnmower or a weed eater. I mean,
there
you can get serious injuries from those. So, and how it engages her mind and keeps her young and spry, and then the exercise, the calories she burns off 100 degrees in Orlando.
Oh,
it's a she really counts her lucky stars every day.
I'm sure she does. I'm sure she does. This is so wonderful. It's so great. Do you guys get to play golf together? Have you been playing at all?
You know, we don't play much golf together at all. We haven't played in probably a couple of years together. We'll play on the road every once in a while with friends that want to play or something. But when we're here at home, since we're never home, every time we're home, we call it a staycation, because that's why we bought this house out in the middle of nowhere on this beautiful lake. And because we never get a chance to take a vacation. So when we are home, we want it to feel like a vacation. And neither of us goes on golfing vacations, because traveling for golf was our job for so long.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, it's probably better for you, although I think you could have been one of the all-time greats, because Karen is quite the accomplished player. I mean,
yes.
You know,
2004 Women's British Open champion, also won another LPGA event.
Yes,
and,
she's a major champion, Jerry. Yes,
correct.
Yes, and
correct.
Solheim Cup and stuff. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
it's probably better for you.
It's not a fair fight on our trophy shelf, put it that way.
All right, now let's talk for a minute on what's coming up. I asked you, we spoke on the phone for quite a while, and it was great the other day. You have, in a couple weeks... there now, again, as we say with everything now, this is what's scheduled, because we never know what's happening. But in a couple weeks, there's going to be an LPGA event, I think you said, in Toledo, right?
Yeah, back-to-back events in Toledo.
And, of course, with no fans. I think the LPGA has announced no fans for the rest of the season, right?
No, not yet. The PGA Tour has been reported that they're going to, but they haven't. They obviously didn't allow fans this week at Memorial, which was expected to be the return of their fans.
Yes, and
but,
it's a good thing they came to their senses, yes.
Right, but the governor in Ohio has allowed, if the LPGA, them to have fans at the second event, not the first one. The first one is just an event put together by the LPGA Tour the week before to give their players a playing opportunity and mm-hmm. to show other tournaments that it can be done, because we haven't had a fanless LPGA event yet.
Right.
And then the second one is a scheduled one, the Marathon Classic, and it's a long-standing one. It's very much a community event, and the town shows up like crazy for it, and all the yards around the course are rented out for parking. It's a really cool event, and it really doesn't work if they can't have fans. So they are limited, severely limited, to the amount of fans they're going to be allowed to have, but they can have them. And you know, as much bad news as we keep getting on TV every day about the pandemic and mm-hmm. the cases spiking and all that, the one thing that is encouraging is the research that continues to come out on a daily basis that outdoor transmission during the day is less than 20 times less likely than any indoor transmission. So I think people are starting to feel a lot more safe. And I've talked to a number of doctors who have said the same thing, but outdoor transmission is really tough. So if people, you know, maintain some sort of distance and all that, then I think it's going to be a very safe environment for the fans that do show up out there. But you never know. I mean, it's all about limiting the risk, because you're never going to be able to eliminate it in day-to-day life.
Right. It's a good point. And if they have a limited number of fans who try to stay 6 feet away from each other or whatever, and possibly even have a mask on while they're out there outside, however they work it, it would be great to see some fans. But I want to ask you this, and I've been talking to all my other guests over the last few weeks who are not nearly as good as you, so your answer will count for more than theirs. I love watching events with no fans. I love it. And I'm not talking about the majors or the Ryder Cup. I'm talking about these tournaments that they're having, even the Memorial. I know it's weird, but in terms of TV watching, I love it. And the camera work is better. The cameras are on the ground. They're doing different things. And even somebody like you who's walking the course with these groups in a tournament, it's what I wanted to ask. How do you feel about not having fans there? Does it make your job easier because there aren't all these people around?
Well, in some respects, an on-course commentator's job is easier because you don't have to deal with the fans in terms of getting, you know, into position. And then I've always felt incredibly guilty if somebody's been standing there waiting to watch a group and I walk up, even though I have the right to do so, to get the best vantage point,
right,
and be able to call the shot and block them out. So I'm usually kneeling down or doing this and that because it's just the right thing to do. But the harder part of it is where you stand now, because once I read the putts, I would call putts from behind the gallery where I could still see what was going on, but yet not block anybody's view. And I had that sound buffer between myself and the players. So
yeah.
Where I stand is going to be much more conspicuous. And when I speak, I'm going to either have to be farther away or whisper even more, which is unfortunate. But to answer the original question, I love watching golf, fanless golf now. I love the fact that it's about 25 minutes faster per round,
yep,
which, even though you're not following just one group and watching how slow golf can be at times, you still get the sense of that permeating through the broadcast. And I love the fact that their sound is so much more prevalent now. When the announcers do quiet down and the audio guy in the truck, the A1, mm-hmm. spikes up the effects mic, you get to hear what they're saying. So microphones on the players is completely unnecessary when you have that environment and you have people who are on the ball and announcers who recognize that they're talking and that the viewer would rather hear from them than what the announcer has to say.
So I
think it's a treat now. Now, when Justin Thomas made that bomb on the 18th green last week.
I just talked about this, yes.
Yeah, we all missed the roar of 15,000 fans around the 18th at Memorial for that. But
yeah, but I also love, Jerry, that he exploded and we got to hear that.
Yeah.
It wasn't as great as all the fans going nuts, but it was fantastic because we got to see him and hear him really let it out. And it was great.
Yeah. You know, I've been the first thing to really return other than pro bowling was NASCAR. And yeah. We're star for sports. I love NASCAR anyway, and I've been watching a lot of it. And what really struck me as odd was when a guy would win, he would go do the burnouts and the victory lap, and all. And it's like, for who? There's nobody there. So, you know, when you see a player step away from a putt now and put his hands on his hips and blame some non-existent spike mark or something, that's all for the TV camera effect, because nobody does that when they're playing golf alone.
Of course
by themselves
right.
at home.
That's
of course
right.
not. They don't they don't complain about this or that. It's all for the TV cameras and the fans, and that's all it is. So I really get a chuckle out of watching guys do that now with no fans on the course.
I have so many questions to ask you, and all right, I'm just next week. I know your schedule's really busy, but could we do a part two next week? Because I have a lot of things I still want to ask you.
Next week, I am. As it turns out, let me check my schedule. Yep, I'm free.
Okay, you sure? Don't lie to me. You didn't even look at your schedule. I need
I've
you
got
to check.
Nothing.
I know.
I've
I'm
got
just,
nothing.
I'm just kidding.
I've got a pool table in my fun room that mm-hmm. once my back heals, I'll play a little more pool. And in the process, I'm perfecting my darts technique.
Awesome. Yeah. We're big darts fans here, too.
Well, your family's pretty big billiards fans as well.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
When all this is over, I know Ava would love to come down there and play pool with you. I know she would.
That'd be like me playing golf with Karen.
Yeah.
It's just not fair.
No, it'd be a little different. Believe me. Mitchell and I once played at their house and with Ava watching, and it took us, I don't know, 2.5 hours to play 1 9 ball game because neither one of us could make a shot. It's really fun. It's great.
Oh, it has to have worn off on Mitchell by now.
Absolutely not. With the world 9 ball champion living in the house, no. He still sucks. No.
It was about 15 years ago or so. I used to watch him all the time. Ava, Allison Fisher, Jeanette Lee, and they actually had a fantasy camp up there that they had tried to organize, and to where, you know, people with a little bit of money could fly up there and hang out and have dinner with the gang. I would give anything to be able to do that, to learn from them. I'm about a 10 handicap billiards player.
That's pretty good, Jerry. I got news for you. Yeah, it is. And I'm going to talk to Ava about this. That is an idea that should be revisited with everything that's going on.
I agree.
Okay.
I absolutely agree.
And if they do it, I will get to, they will waive the fee for you to come to that fantasy game. All right?
I would get in my car tomorrow and drive up there to get some billiards lessons and to hang out with your brother and her as well.
Yeah, my brother's not that great. Ava's really great. So
your brother was the first Lawrence I met, and I love the guy.
Just stop. Okay.
He is great.
All right. Love you, man. Thanks. I'll talk to you next week for part two.
I look forward to it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Say hi to Karen. Bye.
We'll do.
Jerry Foltz. All right. I can't wait till next week. I have many more questions to ask him. All right. That'll do it for this week. Thanks to our partners, Man of War Golf. Wow. I hope you got out there for the fitting sessions this past week. Fantastic. French Lick Resort, get up there. Go to FrenchLick.com and you can check out everything. The golf courses, the hotel, the casino, everything that they're doing. Lexington Parks and Rec, of course, for our 5 great golf courses. Edwin Watts with all the great deals and stuff they have going on over there. Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. You all know about Dan Cummins. Nobody better. Clark's Pump and Shop. Yeah. They have drive-through windows, peeps. I always talk about that. Those places are fantastic. Commonwealth Credit Union. Our community. There's no place better to work with the people who have your interests at heart, like Commonwealth Credit Union. And NFP Insurance. I had my insurance, Sean, was all coming due up again in August. And they took it on themselves. I didn't even know that. And they went through all my insurance stuff and found better deals for me. I just got a phone call. I don't know. Oh, you're going to save me money? Okay, cool. NFP backspingolf.com. Check them out. We'll be back next week. Another edition of Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio. 1,392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.